And then, Father, Lord, we are, Lord, here worshiping because you live, because you reign, because you took what we could not, you did what we could not, and you loved us first. Lord, because of that victory today, Lord, we can stand here worshiping, praising. We can have hope. Lord, we can orient our lives towards that hope and that resurrection, and we can walk in the ways in which you would have for us. And Lord, I pray that now as we open your word, that your spirit would move. And Lord, that you would take your word, press it upon our hearts, that you would direct our feet, our hands towards what you would have. And Lord, help us to be led by you and not by us. And move as only you can, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, our kids will be dismissed for Kids Connect. Or power up, one of those. And if you'll take your Bibles with me this morning to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, as we continue working through the book of Acts. And seeing what the excitement that's happening here in the early church and how God was working and moving. And it gives us an opportunity to refresh in our hearts and lives and refresh in our church according to God's will and way. Now here in Acts 4. As we have been seeing, we are watching now the witness is moving forward. We're now removed from the day of Pentecost. We are now in a time when the stir is beginning to happen in the city. And we are seeing a great difference being made, a great witness that's happening about Christ. And we have seen the day of Pentecost where 3,000 have come to know Christ on that day. We saw through this healing of the lame man, we have seen 5,000 men plus whoever else also coming to Christ in this day. We are seeing a revival movement that to begin it all here in Jerusalem. And so as this is moving forward, as the witness is continuing to progress and push out, we are seeing now the persecution. We are seeing the fight back that is happening from the rulers. We're seeing the fight back that's happening from those that want to keep that control, that want to keep that power. And we saw the interaction of Peter and the Sanhedrin, the arrest that happened last week. And how the gospel witness is moving forward. And so now they have released them and they have charged Peter and John. We don't want you preaching. We don't want you teaching this. They are trying to control the speech. When they can't deny it, they try to silence it. When they couldn't deny the work of God, and in fact, they haven't even been able to deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the movement that's happening now because of this, they can't deny it, so they are trying to silence it. We're seeing the control and everything that's happening and how that is pushing against this early church, this movement that's happening. And what we get to see as we watch this, as we read through this, is we get to see provisions and opportunity for us just like they had. Because as we see some of the same mentalities, as we see some of the same tactics and trials and opposition, we can get a refreshing of Yeah, but this is what they did. Notice how it happened. And this morning, I want to see a passage here that can be incredibly powerful for the church on a whole. Look here in Acts chapter 4, and beginning in verse 23. It says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, I don't know about you, but if the place shakes this morning, I'll be glad to see the work of God. Can you imagine a gathering? Can you imagine this scene of everything that's going on and all that they're working through, the excitement building throughout the city, the excitement about the resurrected Lord and how it's changing lives, the healed lame man, all this that's happening here. Peter and John, they were put in prison. I mean, there was a big tribunal, all this council, all this drama. I mean, Twitter would have been going nuts over this. Social media would have been in just a blaze with all of this. If you notice how much today people, it doesn't matter if they're at an event or whatever, that you see people in the crowd and they're doing this. LeBron James scores his, you know, record-setting amount of points, and he's still not better than Michael Jordan. And he scores it, and you look up in the crowd, and all of the crowd have their phones out and they're recording it, except for this one guy in the front. Just observing it and taking it all in. We're in this world that wants to see all this drama and we want to see it all played out in front of us. And we want to be in all that business and know all these things that are going on. Here's all this excitement. And what did the crowd do? What did the group do? What did this congregation of believers do when they got together? They prayed. They prayed. A prayer meeting that shook the house. Maybe it's an example to us that our prayer meetings need to shake the house a little more. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported. Here now we see this group as they are dealing with the opposition. They have just been told, don't preach anymore. Don't speak about Jesus. Don't do this. Peter says, we've got to do what we have seen and heard. This is what has come from the Lord. We have got to do. You decide for yourselves. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going to do what God has told us to do. And when they gather together, they come together and pray. Do you know that prayer is the most common spiritual activity that we do alone? Barna in its research said that 94% of people that prayed at least once in the last 3 months did so alone. We pray alone. We utilize prayer alone. We pray in our hearts. We pray silently. We pray throughout the day, and we do so alone. And Scripture gives us that precedent. But think about also the power if we would come together to pray a lot more too. I want you to see this morning here in this passage the praying community. The community that came together in prayer and what began to happen. You know, with all this that we're seeing with Asbury and the attention that revival's getting. Understand that it started after a normal chapel service when a group of students stuck around to pray together. They stuck around and began to confess and to repent and to get right with the Lord and pray together. And any work of spiritual awakening and revival, prayer is always central and vital. And here as we see this happening, the body is coming together and they begin to pray. I want you to see this about the praying community. See first the partners in prayer. In verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God. I don't know that it needs a whole lot of explanation here. It's very simple. When the opposition came, when the trials were coming, when they were released, they have just now come from sitting in front of that council being charged not to speak Christ. When they went to their friends, when they went to their community, what did they do? They lifted up their voices in prayer. Prayer in our solitude and prayer in our times alone together, it attaches our heart to the Lord. But I tell you, when we have a chance to pray together, it attaches our hearts together towards the Lord. And he went to this community to pray together, to lift up their hearts together. It's not just an individual activity, but yet it is so hard to see prayer become an important part of people's schedules together. Think of how we could revolutionize and worship, how we could revolutionize our connection and our community together if we drew our hearts together in prayer before the Lord. If we had partners in prayer, opportunities, times where we could gather as a group and lift up as a group prayer to make it important. This is one of the aspects that we are working on this year. And one of the things that we talked about from our vision series is we want to have an emphasis in prayer throughout this year in our church. The last Saturday of every month, we're opening up the church in the morning and in the evening just for a time of, hey, come, let's pray together. Yes, we can pray in our houses. Yes, we can pray alone and singular. But this time is also meant for a special emphasis of, hey, let's come together. Let's get a group of people together to come into this house and be able to pray and say, Lord, move. Move in us. Do a work. Save people that need to know your salvation. Do a work in my home. Do a work in my family. Do a work in my job. And pray together. Think of what could happen with these simple prayer times. How it can move and work in our hearts and lives when we have partners in prayer. There's nothing more encouraging than to sit next to someone as they are praying for you. To hear their heart as they are pouring you out before the Lord. There's nothing more uniting as sitting together and uniting in your voices, in your hearts, in prayer together as you lift this up before the Lord. Here as we begin to see this movement and all that it's going to do, prayer is going to be vital in how they move forward. We've already seen it in how they worked in choosing the replacement and how they were gathered together in the upper room and they were there praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit. And now when the opposition is coming, there was a concerted effort to lift up their voices together. Partners in prayer. But then notice what happens when they go to the petitions of prayer. In verse 24, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. Now we get kind of a picture. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you read through Scripture and you read the different prayers in Scripture. It's a great study of reading through Scripture and reading the different prayers that are written out and to see how people prayed and the direction of it. And there's some interesting aspects about the petitions and when they went to the Lord here in prayer. The very first thing is notice how they begin. Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. The word here in the Greek is where we get the word despot. It's the idea of sovereign ruler. They bring this idea and they bring this mentality, this absolute authority as they begin to lift up their voices. They come with this mentality before them in prayer that we are going before the God who reigns. They're beginning to change and align their mindset now as they are lifting up in prayer, as they're going to bring petitions in prayer. They begin by starting off by addressing the who that they're talking to in prayer. Who are we talking to? Sovereign Lord. And then they describe it. We see three descriptions about this Lord here in the text. The Sovereign Lord, number one, the Creator who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. I tell you what, if you've got to go to the Lord in prayer and if you've got a request, if you've got a burning burden and pressing issue, isn't it nice to know that the person that you're going to created everything? That he has the file, he has the blueprint, he has the design, he is the great physician, he is the creator. And when I bow before him in prayer, I am going to the Creator who spoke and light came into existence, who spoke and stars were hung, who spoke and mountains were carved. I'm telling you, it makes our requests seem a lot more accomplishable when we go to the Creator. Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. The Creator, and then notice in verse 25, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit. Here's a subtle, the next thing that we see about the Lord, he is the revealer. You spoke through David, your servant, and they are quoting Psalm 2 here, but he says, said by the Holy Spirit, you are the God who created, and you're the God who reveals. You're the God who has brought this wisdom. You're the God who has shown us these things. And then they begin to quote Psalm chapter 2. Why do the Gentiles rage? The peoples plot in vain. Oh, if we could ever apply that to some of our cultural context today. The kings of earth set themselves. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. We see a little excerpt from Psalm chapter 2, but the beauty of Psalm chapter 2 is it's showing us that God is in control. That even when the Gentiles are raging and even when the heathens are raging and all of this is going on, God is still in control and he's going to make it right. And this has been revealed. Hey, you know what else God has revealed to you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has revealed that we love him because he first loved us. He has revealed that he is love. And he sent his son to be the propitiation, to be the payment for our sins. He has revealed that he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He has revealed that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He has revealed that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we bow in our petitions of prayer, we can go to the God who's revealed, I love you. I care for you. I have a plan for you. I have an opportunity for you. I have a will and a way and a desire for you. And I've revealed it to you. I can go to him. And then not only is he the creator and the revealer. Verse 27, he says, for truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Notice the theme in verses 27 and 28. When the people were gathering together against your holy servant, whom you anointed, Herod, Pilate, the leaders, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand, your plan had predestined. He's the creator, he's the revealer, and he's the history maker. All the people are gathering. They're putting on a show. They're trying to put their counsel and make their judgments. They're trying to define things the way that they want to define things. They want to try to make laws the way that they want to make laws. But let me tell you, I'm appealing to the history maker. I'm appealing to the one who has a plan, who has a will, who has a way. When they came in their petitions for prayer, they spent this time as they began to lift up their voices. They spent this time orienting themselves to who they were talking to. You want to change your prayer life? Start thinking more about who you're talking to. Think about what he can do. Worship. Even in that time, because notice after all that section there, it's talking about the Lord. Verse 29. Now we get to their request. I don't know about you, but my prayer life's a lot of opposite of this. I start off, dear Lord, I need you to take care of this right now today. Dear Lord. Hey, this person has this request, and I need you to work in this life. Dear Lord, I got this that's going on. Dear Lord, I need this. Dear Lord, can you do this? Dear Lord, can you do this? And how many times does our prayer life start off immediately with our request, Lord, I need you doing this? Oh, but here they start off. Lord, this is who you are. You're my creator. You're my revealer. You're the history maker. And now the request in verse 29. And now, because of all that, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Here now are the requests. Here are the imperatives. Here's what they are asking God to do. Look upon their threats. They say, first off, consider what they're saying. Lord, look upon what's happening. Lord, see this situation. When you look all throughout Scripture, you see the people of God crying out to the Lord, asking him, Lord, behold, see us. And you know the wonderful promises of Scripture show us? The Lord sees us. His eyes run to and fro throughout the earth. We see the promises. His eyes see us. They say, consider, look upon these threats. Now, if you were to put my translation and my version in here, I'd say, Lord, look upon their threats and Lord, just take them out. Remove them. In fact, I want you to put in there who I voted for. And I want you to take care of this and just remove this situation. In fact, you know, you could just, wipe them out. However you want to do it, Lord, I'll leave that part up to you. But I want you to just go ahead, get them out of the way, get this problem, take care of it. And that's what I want to do. But notice what they do. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. They didn't say, take us out. They didn't say, remove them. They said, in the midst of all this, as you consider this, give us the boldness to continue. You know, the beautiful thing is sometimes the Lord doesn't take us out of the storms, but he will walk with us through them. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word. They are petitioning and asking for boldness. I tell you, so many times we try to use prayer to see others changed instead of ourselves. We try to see our circumstances better for our will instead of the will of God in our circumstances. Continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through your name, through the holy servant Jesus. Now that's the part we like. All right, I want to see the signs. I want to see the wonders. We want to see you do this. You know what's interesting is there is not a command there. This is an attachment to them to, this is an elaboration in the sentence structure of them continuing to speak the word of God. What they are saying is, Lord, as we continue in boldness, as you grant to us boldness to speak the word, allow your signs and wonders to confirm your word. Allow it to do your work. Allow it to continue to show others that your word is the way. That your holy servant Jesus is the one through whom all this power is happening. Let it be through your will. Prayer is not our opportunity to get our will done in heaven. It's our opportunity to see God's will done in earth. And when we look at this prayer and we see how it's outlined, who we are praying to, the sovereign Lord, the petitions of look upon the threats and allow us, give us boldness to continue on. The petitions flow to the character of God. They start with who God is. They come to God based on who he is, on his character, on his truth. And the petitions flow to the character of God. The problem is so many times we want to use prayer to change our context. We want to use prayer to change our situations. We want to use prayer to take God out of his context and insert him into our context. And we try to utilize prayer as, Lord, I want you to do what I have on my heart and mind. Instead of, Lord, this is who you are. You're the sovereign Lord. You're the creator. You are the revealer. You're the history maker. And I'm coming before you to see your will done here on earth. Give us boldness to continue on. To see our context in the middle of his. It changes the viewpoint. You see, if we remove our context from the reality of God's context, we're going to come up with a flawed view of reality. And this is where a worldview pops up that comes without God. It's interesting when we look at prayer and the opportunity that we have before us. We have such an incredible opportunity in prayer to go before the throne, to talk to the Lord, to be able to come before his presence. And yet we use something so gracious, so magnificent, so selfishly sometimes. Just to see my will done. Instead of, Lord, how can you work in this situation? It's the idea of changing the context. When they are beginning to petition God and pray to God, they are trying to remove themselves and put themselves in God's context, the reality of who he is. Do you know that the word photoshopping is a verb? It's become a verb in our society. For any of y'all graphic designers out there, you know the program Photoshop and how incredible it is. And maybe you have seen this in different times where you thought this picture was this amazing picture, only to find out that's not really what that picture is all about, or that's not really something true. So we have this Photoshopping. We have the ability to cut and to paste and to change and to morph, and magazine covers are not always what that picture really is. and we edit and we change and we morph and we do all these things and we cut, paste, pull all these things. And so what you might have is, and I want to show you an example of this. I want you to see this first picture here. You might have this really amazing picture. This really amazing piece of art. Now, this is kind of a space sci-fi picture. And you're like, how in the world did they create it? And you got a little lunar lander. You got a little spaceship, moon back there. You probably can't see all the details through the projection. There's a little spaceman back there. Looks cool. Looks like a neat screensaver. This came from a Photoshop artist by the name of Cameron McPhee. This is his after. Here's the before. Here's how it started. All the little cuts. He pulled a picture of a planet. He pulled a picture of a spaceship on a rock. The lunar lander, the space guy. Pictures of clouds and stars. And that's how it started. Cut and paste. And he created a fantasy context by cutting and pasting and putting all these things together to create his own context. Well, the before, as pretty as it might be, was a false reality. What happens when we try to utilize prayer for our context instead of placing it in his context is we create prayer in this mentality for a false reality instead of grounding it in the truth of who he is so that we might truly see his power. Prayer will never be powerful when we try to do it in our own power. But oh, it can shake the building when we do it in his power. When we let him work, when we come to him based on who he is. In the petitions of prayer, go to the character of God. Folks, we have incredible burdens that we pray for daily. You have people on your hearts and minds. You have friends on your hearts and minds. You have situations and circumstances and all manners of trials and things that are going on in your hearts and minds. Take it to the one who's sovereign over all the context. Grounded in that truth of who he is, grounded in the character of who he is, and ask to see his will and way moving in it. We see the petitions of prayer, and then thirdly, we see the power. After all that, in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Right after they had prayed, the place is shaken together. This cosmic sign, this sign is showing us the affirmation of the Lord. The Lord's presence is shaking and earthquaking. It goes along with the presence of God throughout Scripture. Much like you see at Mount Sinai, and the place was shaking and thundering and quaking. You see, the power that's happening is an affirmation of what they are doing. The place was shaken together. And then we see they are filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. We see something that is very similar to what happened on the day of Pentecost. Is this another Pentecost? No. But it's a refreshing. It's a freshness that happens. You say, you know what, I've spent a lot of time in prayer, and I've spent time in prayer together. I've spent time in prayer with people, and I have never experienced this shaking and this feeling and all these different types of things. And I've never experienced all these signs and all this. We aren't praying for the signs. We're praying for the connection. The power in prayer here is the refreshment. And so when they are filled with the Holy Spirit here, we are seeing a fresh connection with the Holy Spirit. We are seeing them connected once again to continue to speak with boldness, to continue to move forward in boldness. There's a recharge. There's a revive. There's an amp because of the power that is working through prayer. They are being reconnected Too many times we go uncharged. Too many times we don't plug ourselves back into the power source. Prayer is plugging ourselves back in that connection to that power source. They were filled and they continued to speak. There was a freshness of the Spirit. Don't let your prayer life go stale. And we as a community shouldn't let our prayers together go stale either. We come together to pray together, to continue to move together, because our strongest stance, our most powerful stance, is always the bended knee. You know, playing football, there was one thing that our offensive line coach always tried to get through our heads. And try to teach football players anything sometimes is difficult. And he tried to get us mentality. The offensive line that I played with in high school, a lot of us were on, the honor society and different things. It was a different group of guys than what they had normally had. And so they were trying to approach it a different way. And they kept talking about power angles. And they began to bring in the physics of blocking and the physics of power and the shift of power and a force. And he kept talking about these different things. And if you watch, you know, football, and if you're the football nerdies like some of us are, and, you know, you're watching the games within the games and you're watching the blocking, and, you know, because the offensive linemen are the real stars of the show. And you look at it, and you look at those left tackles. I mean, those big guys, 6'6", 6'7", 300, 350 pounds. Their arms reach out forever. And you look at them in their stances, and you look at how they line up in their stances. And they get in specific orders. They get in specific stances because of power, the shift of power. We were always taught if you walked up to the line and you saw the whites of the knuckles, you know that guy's putting too much force on his hand. You know you're going to be able to put him in the dirt real quick because he doesn't have his balance. He doesn't have a center. And you look at these power angles and you look at these things that are happening when they hike the ball, and you see those offensive linemen, they step back and you see how they get in a certain stance. And they try to get their feet in a certain place, and they try to get an angle in a certain way, and they try to get a certain base so that when they extend their hands, they have power in their punch and they're not overreaching or they're not being pulled back and forth. And I know this is all football stuff you wanted to know today. But they get into a certain stance for a certain power so that they can have the right leverage. So that they can block, so they can keep that defender from getting to the quarterback, from getting to the running back, to make the lanes so that they can score the touchdown, so that they can win. They've got to get to the right power angles. Well, let me tell you what our power angle is. It's a bended knee before the sovereign Lord. It says, Lord, you're the creator. You are the revealer. You are the history maker. You are my power. What is your will? What is your way? Move in us. Do something in us. We want to see you, this reality of your context in the midst of my context, in the midst of my circumstances. I want to see your realness, your power, your presence. And watch him do the work. Prayer attaches us to something beyond us. It attaches us to something supernatural. It attaches us to something spiritual. Do you understand that of all the things that we can do today and in this place, we can do a lot of things out of our own planning. And we do a lot of things out of our own planning. We plan the order of service. We put it in bulletins and we put it on screens. We plan the songs that we're going to sing. We plan the scripture passages that we're going to go through. We plan. But you know what happens in prayer in the midst of the worship service? It attaches us to his plan. It attaches us to his power. It attaches us to something supernatural, something beyond us, beyond something that we can try to manufacture this morning, beyond something that we can try to put together in our power and our might. Prayer attaches us to something supernatural. And that's when the place shakes. The place won't shake if it's our power. But however, being shook through prayer creates an unshakable presence for the mission. The place was shaken, the prayer that happened, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The mission carried on. Oh, that we would utilize prayer. Oh, that we would put ourselves in his reality of his context of who he is, and we would see his supernatural power move through us. I want to close with these words. John Newton, the hymn writer, one who brought us Amazing Grace, he wrote a hymn in 1779. And I love the words of this hymn. It's called, "Come, My Soul, Thy Soup Prepare." It says, "Come, my soul, thy soup prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Rise and ask without delay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. His grace and power such, you can never ask too much." Shall we stand this morning? As we stand in this time of response, this time of invitation, we have the opportunity now to respond to how the Spirit is moving in our hearts and lives. And this morning, if you are missing that power, if you're missing that connection, that freshness and falling of the Holy Spirit, now is the time to reconnect. The altar is going to be open. It is not. It is not a problem. It is not a derogatory thing. It is not a blight on us to come and pour out our hearts before the Lord. No one's going to look on us as we pray at the altar as if there's something going on in their hearts and lives. It should be a prayer of, "I need to go pray with them." The altar is here to pour out to that king. And are we willing to connect to him, to see a fresh fall of his Spirit this morning? The altar is going to be open. If you need that power, I'd love to be able to show you that power. To show you Christ this morning and what he can do in your heart and life if you came to him. If you need to follow the Lord in baptism, now is the time to make that decision. You need a place to come and to be a part of, to join with. Now is an opportunity to let it be known. But whatever the Spirit is placed upon your heart, let us be a people that responds to him, that attaches ourselves through prayer to something spiritual and supernatural. Our Father, work now in this place. Let us see your Spirit move. Do something in our hearts and lives, Lord, and help us to cry out in the reality of your context for ours. Move in us now.